Blessed be God, most holy, glorious, and undivided Trinity.
And blessed be God's reign, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
Also
with you. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Cana. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bela and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph had a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to them. Now his brothers went to pasture with their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it's well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent them from the valley to Hebron. He came to Shechem and found a man wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, They have gone away from, I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance before coming near. They conspired to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of the hand, saying, let's not take his life. Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into the pit here in the wilderness. Nalo laid no hand on him, that he might rescue him of their hand and restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to see his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty and there was no water. When they sat down to eat, looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, which with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And the brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Israelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading the Psalm 105, alternating by whole verse. Those seated on the left side will read the verses in bold, and on the choir side, the ones not in bold. I give you thanks, O God, and call upon your name.
We make known your deeds among the people. We sing to you, we sing your praise, and sing of all your marvelous works. We glory in your holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek you rejoice. We search for you and your strength. We continue to seek your grace. We remember the marvels you have done, the wonders.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2026 has been a tumultuous year for me. From rounding out my final semester of seminary, getting engaged, moving across the country, getting ordained, coming to be here with all of you, all of the pieces of my daily routines have been upended right in front of my eyes. I knew most of these changes were coming, and yet it still kind of felt like being tied to the train tracks and watching the train barreling towards you. I wonder if
I imagine not, honestly, that the disciples did not know the changes that were coming their way when they agreed to give up everything in their lives to follow Jesus. At this point in their journey with Jesus in today's gospel, they would have already witnessed him healing the sick, casting out spirits, and they just helped Jesus feed more than 5,000 people with just a couple loaves of bread and some fish. Early Christian history scholar Teresa Morgan has focused her scholarship over the last 15 years on faith in the lives of early Christian communities. More specifically, she has examined how the ancient Greek word pistis was understood in the context of those early Christians. What she found was that pistis means faith, yes, but it also meant trust. And more importantly for our story today, that pistis was always used in the context of a relationship. God has been building relationships with us, God's creation, for thousands of years, making the nature of our relationship with God both mundane and particular. God has had a lot of practice at building relationships and has probably had almost anything we can think of thrown his way over time. I do wonder, though, if Jesus was expecting the response he got when he walked on water. Jesus has again gone off to pray by himself. He probably needed some time to decompress after what may have been the largest dinner party ever. And when he finally is ready to regroup, he sees how far off the disciples have gone and is plotting his way back to them. Apparently, the most straightforward path won out, and Jesus decides to walk on water all the way back to the boat, through some rough terrain, no less, as it sounds like there was quite a storm going. I don't know about you, but if I saw someone walking on water towards my boat in the middle of the sea, I too would probably think it was a ghost. I don't think this is what surprised Jesus, though. Peter, he needs some proof that this is really Jesus. It's been so long since he last saw him, a mere couple of hours. And so he asks Jesus to let him walk on water too. I don't think Jesus expected that. Yet he obliges Peter and says, sure, come on over here. Now we have the gift of the big picture of the New Testament, where we can see the trajectory of the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus throws a lot at them in the beginning of their relationship for sure, but there's still an on-ramp. Jesus does not immediately raise the dead and say, see, I told you I'm the Son of God. Instead, there's a gradual progression. So Jesus and Peter walking on water together is one piece of the relationship building between Jesus and his disciples. Poor Peter once again seemingly did not realize what he was getting into, though, because walking on water with waves over the sea, it's scary. I imagine Peter must have been caught up in the absurdity of the moment when a brief moment of clarity strikes him and he realizes that he is actually walking on water. And so he panics and he falls into the sea. Our lives also follow a trajectory of our unfolding relationship with God. There's a reason that early Christians were required to study for 3 years before they could be baptized. The relationship God is offering us, while rewarding, is not an easy one. We are asked to trust what we cannot see. Peter had trouble trusting even what he could see and was doing himself. Yet amidst the panic, Jesus reaches his hand out to Peter, helping him out of the water while saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? As if faith or trust is an easy thing. Even though Jesus had been slowly building up trust and doing more and more grandeur miracles, Peter still panics. I have been an Episcopalian my whole life. I have been building trust and confidence with God for almost 30 years. This past year, though, there was so much unknown coming my way. I knew too much too fast, while also not knowing enough. I had fallen in the water and succumbed to the panic. Sometimes people say it's harder to remember to pray and seek God when times are good, not just the bad. But for me, it is often hard to remember to pray and seek God when times are rough. It is easy to get preoccupied with trying to fix everything ourselves. Peter panics, yes. Peter also calls out for help, and Jesus answers that call. Jesus did not put Peter in a situation he could not handle, but he also did not abandon him when the confidence literally fell out from under his feet. The trust between Jesus and Peter was deepened amidst the mess that comes when you fall into the pool with your clothes on. Throughout this year, I have panicked in the water quite a bit. It has been hard at times to see where God is moving in my life, as things have moved at a pace both quicker and slower than I would have liked. The life I had built came to its natural ending, and the new life is trying to find its footing in tumultuous waters. My life experience of my relationship with God has taught me to trust that God is working on my life even when I cannot see it. When I am most uncertain, I am reminded of all the times where God was holding things closer to the chest, waiting for me to be ready. Peter was a fisherman before Jesus found him, probably spending most of his time on the water. The very nature of Jesus's relationship with Peter does not begin or end with their undoubtable friendship, though that was certainly important. Rather, it's a preparation for both Jesus and Peter. Jesus is preparing for his inevitable death on the cross, and Peter is being prepared for what will be asked of him in Jesus's absence. God extends his hand to us, inviting us to trust in something we cannot see. When we take God's hand, we are entering a history of relationships while embarking on our own journey of faith and trust. In the beginning, we are not ready for the end. We need all of the intermediate steps, including the panic in the water. Amen.
Amen.
Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
We pray for all who lead the church, including bishops, deacons, priests, and laypeople. Give to your church a new vision of yourself and of your saving power. We pray for all who reach out in faith towards you. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
We pray for areas of the world where there are floods or other natural disasters, for all who are affected by poverty or hunger, for all who are battered by waves of oppression or violence. When we are overwhelmed, increase our faith. When trouble besets us, let us hear you say, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
We give thanks for all who have supported us in times of joy and times of trouble or distress. We pray that we will not be a burden to any, but a strength. Go out with us as we proclaim your love. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
We pray for all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for all who are down, weary, or fearful. We pray for all caregivers and social workers. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
We give thanks for those who are beyond the storms of this world and have come to the haven of rest. Grant that we may come to be with your saints in life eternal. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Almighty and ever-living God, you created us all in your image, and bid us always to turn to you in each hour of life. Empower us to step into the depths of our faith and answer your call with courage and conviction, in tempest and tranquility, for this life and the next. We ask this through Christ Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Advocate, who together with you are one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I am Maria Kunefelman, and your representative on the vestry. And I'm going to do a couple of quick announcements today. One is just as a reminder that tonight we have a Teze worship service here at the church at 6:30 p.m. And it is a wonderful opportunity to just experience Teze if you've not done that before, prayer, music, and silence too. And in the coming weeks, we also have upcoming worship and fellowship opportunities. Those are all listed on the yellow sheet. Please do take those home. But just as a reminder, next Sunday, we have a Bible study with Reverend Pamela to explore the story of Joseph after the 10 o'clock service. So please stay for that. Come on over after you grab your coffee and treats. I am really excited today to report that the vestry approved the engaging of Eric Dowd as the architect to guide us through an envisioning journey to determine what how our campus can best support our ministries towards spiritual growth and physical growth and into the future. If you received or have already read, you know that at Friday's e-blast, Pamela shared a wonderful description of how the vestry and several committees have been discussing over the last 2 years what better ways we may find to have our campus better meet the needs of our ministries. So it's been a process, and this it's really exciting for me because this is like the phase where we actually, as a parish, and you will be invited to do this, will participate in that envisioning process. The vestry is committed to keeping you informed because in the coming months you'll be invited to participate in that process. The executive committee is meeting on Tuesday with Eric Dowd, and we hope that, or expect, to get a better sense of what the schedule will look like in the next few months. And so to let you know what is happening and to keep you informed, we'll soon also have an active, I guess you call it, section on the church website to keep you up to date on the process. And also, that is where you can go and read about the work and the committee reports that have been to share that progress. And just to keep you abreast of what the discernment process is looking like. So I encourage you to stay informed. You are welcome to contact vestry members with questions, and I'm certainly available to chat with you in person on Sundays or by email or calls at other times. So stay tuned and check the website for the link to kind of bring you up to date on all that has been happening. And you probably have read some of this already if you've been reading the reports, but it's always good to review things as we take the next step. So thank you.
Thank you, Maria. I see our ushers up here with the welcome bags. If anyone hasn't received a welcome bag, a blue bag, that's for newcomers or visitors, so just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get something with some information and a copy of our last magazine and, of course, chocolate. So we only had one celebration / milestone that was mentioned at the last service. Does anyone here have anything they want to share with us? Yes. Aw, good two birthdays this week. I know, I think you guys must have a lot of celebrations in your family, which is a wonderful thing back there. Oh, congratulations. So wedding anniversary. That was the announcement at the early service too, is Michael and Sheila Lewis are celebrating their 66th wedding anniversary, which is pretty amazing, right? If there aren't any others, then we will turn to page 6 and the celebrations and milestones prayer. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have a communion up at the altar rail today. The ushers will be here to help you know when it's time to go to the altar rail, where you can stand or kneel and receive the bread into your hands, and then either consume it and wait for the wine to come, or wait for the wine so that the Eucharistic minister can intinct it and give it back to you. Please let an usher know if you cannot come forward for communion so we can bring it to you. And remember that our bread, our homemade bread, is gluten-free and vegan, and we want everyone to be able to participate. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. Shining light and enfolding dark, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Christ our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of the triune God who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.